See that? Good. Good morning. Oh, I have a couple of announcements I want to make. No, I only have one. Don't be expecting a check at the end of the year. Just wanted to clarify. There will not be a check in the mail at the end of the year. Have your Bibles with you this morning, church. I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. This is the story of the conversion of Saul, and I just felt like that we could use that as a jumping place and letting you be able to see where Saul was coming from. But there's a far greater message in this conversion story. The message is to the church today, and the message is about purpose, finding your purpose, and being able to move in that in a workable situation with God. You've got to know what your purpose is. You got to figure that out. You got to know how to get there. And once you get there, you need to know what to do. But first of all, you got to figure out, what is my purpose? What is? And a lot of times, like Saul had no earthly idea what he would be doing. I can assure you of that. But through a series of events, God led him to Damascus, and when God led him to Damascus, on the road, he found his purpose, his calling. We're going to begin reading with the first verse, 9th chapter, first verse. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice. And the voice was saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do." Father, I just pray for your anointing on your word this morning. I pray, Father, that you'll touch our spirits, open our minds and our hearts, that we will be able to receive what you've prepared for us. And we just want to give you all honor, that you be glorified in everything that's said or done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Saul was yet, the Bible says in my version, some of your versions will say he was still, but he was still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against God's disciples. And he goes to the high priest and he asks for a letter to go to Damascus, that if he found any one of them serving the Lord, he would bring them back bound to Jerusalem. He was still involved in his rebellion. In other words, God used him when he didn't deserve to be used. In other words, God looked past where he was right then and saw where he could be, where he was taking him. How many of you know you're not where God's taking you? You're not there yet. You're not there yet. You say, I hope not. Well, I do too. But I can honestly tell you that we're going to where God wants it. And if we would just be attentive to God, he will lead us that way. And even in our rebellion, God will take us by the hand and lead us, and us not even knowing it. Even in the midst of the rebellion that Paul was involved in, God was preparing him for his purpose. Even in the midst of the rebellion, God was preparing him. See, you may not believe this. Before you were ever thought of, God already had a plan for you. You were part of the plan. He had a purpose for your life. And regardless of whether we jump right then or we wait and we have a series of events, but God will always bring us to that place that we're going to seek after Him. Amen. I don't care. It may be a good thing. It may be a bad thing. I have no earthly idea. But there will come a time when you realize I need God in my life. And I know I can't go this alone. I've got to have God in my life. And so even with Saul, Saul knew at that point in time he needed more than what he was able to offer. But he was still in rebellion. And God had ministered. Now watch this. Have you ever had God use you when you really didn't feel like you were worthy? Have you ever? Let me say it real simple. I've said prayers at times, and I thought, my God, that probably didn't even get out of the building, and God worked a miracle. And other times you just pray and you feel so anointed, and you know you feel so religious and so good about yourself. And nothing happened. So you look at, so I have, and especially as a young pastor, I always ask, the first thing when the Lord called me into ministry, one of the first things I thought to myself, I can't do this. I'm not worthy of this. I can't go into this calling. I mean, come on, I didn't fit any of the molds. I had my parents were just normal people, and my daddy, he owned a bar, and I was raised up in a bar room. We didn't go to church much. Didn't have a whole lot to do with church. I couldn't see me fitting into that mold of what I'd seen. And then when I got into seminary, I recognized the fact that all of the people I was in seminary with, their fathers and grandfathers and some of them's great grandfather, were pastors. And you know, my dad pastored the First Methodist Church at so-and-so right after his father, and his father before him was the one that started that church. I said, well, you know, where did your dad pastor? I said, you really wouldn't want to know. I'm just telling you, I could tell you some sermons I heard. You wouldn't believe it, you know. But I just didn't feel worthy. I didn't fit the mold. How many of you know you don't need a mold? God made you just the way you are. And when He created you and He made you, before you were even placed in your mother's womb, He made a purpose in your life. He just said, I love you so much, I'm going to lay out your life for you. And you're just going to live it out. I don't know. Even the bad things that happen to us, God has said, okay, let it happen, because we're going to make something good out of it. We're not going to allow it to come into your life and stay. We're just going to take you through it. And when you get through it and you're on the other side and you look back, you're going to be able to give me the glory for it. Amen. Oh, man, I'm telling you, we just got to realize that God has your life planned out for you. Amen. How many of you ever had unexpected things happen?
Amen.
Since yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've had unexpected things happen to us, and I wonder why that happened. Surely God's not in this, but all of a sudden we recognize the fact that God was in it. If He wasn't in it, He allowed it. And if He allowed it, that made Him part of it. What do you think about that, Pastor? I really don't know. So, these unexpected things that happen to us in our lives, we got to recognize, number one, God had a hand in it. God's got a part in it. You know why? Because you gave your life to Him. You're no longer responsible for yourself. He said, I'm going to be responsible for you. All you've got to do is depend on me. And if you will depend on me, I'll be responsible for you. You know what I've learned? I understand why Paul said, in all things, give thanks. In all things, everything, no matter what it is, give thanks. Begin to give thanks for it. And don't take no credit to the enemy. And don't take any credit to yourself. Give God glory for it. Just begin to thank Him for it. And let me tell you something. You want to mess things up, you get in the middle of the biggest mess you've ever been in your life, and you go to glorifying God.
Amen.
Just start loving Him and praising Him and glorifying Him. I'm going to tell you what will happen. Things will change for you. Things will get better for you. It's like when Saul was on that road, and the Bible says that all of a sudden there was this light from heaven that shone around. When God shows up, things get brighter. When God shows up, things get brighter. Oh, listen, I don't care how dark it is in your life. I don't care what's going on in your life. Yeah. Get God in the equation. Yeah. If you'll get God in the equation, things will just lighten up. Things will get brighter. And you'll be able to see the positive things rather than the negative things. And when people begin to sow negative stuff into your spirit, it'll be resisted because you're not looking for those things. Listen, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. I don't care. You need to be happy little children. You need to be glad and you need to rejoice little children because greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. We need to recognize that when we become a part of God, he becomes a part of us and he takes on that responsibility that you and I can't do for ourselves. And those are those unexpected things. And we've all had those things happen to us. We didn't know anything about it. And all of a sudden, we're caught up into something we didn't even recognize was there. And then we have to depend on God to bring us out. You know, I look at Saul's life and I see that he was in the midst of his rebellion. He was slandering God's people and trying to slaughter them and he was bringing them back bound up and not allowing them to worship God. And you know what I found? I have found that God doesn't pick you for you. God chooses you for him. God doesn't choose you for you. God chooses you for him. It's not about you. Dadgum. How do you live with something like that? You mean all it's 70 some odd years and it's not about me yet?
Amen.
Listen, he chooses you for him. It's his plan. It's his purpose. You got to recognize it. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about him crucified. Amen. It's about all the things he did, nothing Amen. We've done. All that we would receive no glory. He would receive all the glory. You know why? He's God Almighty. He is everywhere present and nowhere absent. He's God. And he just, all he wants to do is love you and bring you to that place where you can serve him in his best interest. It's not about you. It's about him. And when he chose you, he could have looked the world over. Let me assure you, he could have found a lot better people at that particular time than Saul. Yeah. I've thought about this guy. You got to love Saul. Paul, Saul. You got to love this guy. Listen, if he were to come to this church or any church in America today, or anywhere else probably that's a Christian church, and fill out an application and tell the truth on the application, nobody'd hire him. Come on, they'd say, oh, this guy's a nut. Everywhere he goes, he causes problems.
Yes.
Been in jail so many times. I mean, you know, they forward his mail there.
Yes.
And you just, he's been involved in all these. He even said himself, I mean, this guy says, I'm the chief of all sinners. Listen, you got to admire him that he was able to submit and put this stuff behind him. I love what he wrote. He said, hey, I don't say that I have attained. I don't say that I made it. But one thing that I've learned in life, Paul said, he said, I've learned to put those things that are behind me. The devil's a lie. I've learned to put those things behind me. That are behind me and press on to that high call of God set before me. In other words, I want to press on to the purpose of my life. I'm not going to let those things in the past hold me back from getting what God has for me in the future. I don't know about you, but we've all got things in our past. I know I do. I can speak for me, but I long for the day that you and I can stand before the Lord and when the Lord said, you know what? I know you've done a lot of things, but the record's clear. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish I had time to preach about how that when we get there, how we're going to be accountable. We've already been accountable. He's already taken care of everything. It is as far from you as the east is from the west. It's nowhere. It doesn't even exist any longer. Every one of us this morning that has accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, you and I need to be up shouting the glory this morning, just worshiping God. We ought to crawl out of the bed in the morning and just thank Him for saving us, that we don't have to answer for those things that we did in our rebellion, that those things are far behind us, and we can press on to that high call of God. Forget about that mess that the enemy keeps bringing up to you, and press on to that high call and be anointed the way God wants you to be anointed. We need to recognize that God called you for a purpose and for a reason, and that purpose and that reason is not for you to keep bringing up the past. God uses you for Him. He wants to use you for Himself. John 15, chapter 16 said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. I chose you that you may go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide. And whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Listen, I'm finding these little clues the older I get, and it's important to me that my prayers are answered. I mean, I want my prayers answered. That's the most important thing. We got to be able to depend on our own prayer. Listen, if I come to you and say, "I need for you to pray for me," you better pray, because I've already prayed and I don't feel good about it. Are you with me? I mean, we got to be able, I got to have confidence in my own prayer. And I learn here when I read this little passage that you may go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He'll give it you. Father, I brought fruit to the table. I didn't come here before you, Almighty God, just to come. I brought fruit. I want you to look back over the record. I brought fruit. I want you to see my fruit. Now you got an obligation here. You said, "Remind me of what I said and see if I won't do it." That's the reason it's important we know the Word of God. That's the reason it's important that we study and know the Word of God, where we can ask Him. Because we can say, "Hey, well, I'm going to remind you. You said that by your stripes I'm healed. I don't care how I get healed, just heal me." Yeah. Right. What I mean by that is if God wants to use the doctors, that's fine. I'm for all that stuff.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I ain't medical marijuana. But not believing I said that. But I did. Now, here's a fella that's slandering and I do believe it's perfectly okay, though, to be honest with you, medicinal purposes. Absolutely. Good for your eyesight, James. Not believing I said that either. I have a lot of surprises in myself this morning. Okay. So here's a fellow that is slandering and slaughtering God's people. And the Lord told Ananias, who was in Damascus, that he was a chosen vessel. And the Lord told Ananias that he was a chosen vessel. You know what? This speaks volumes to me. This speaks volumes to me. God doesn't choose you on your reputation. Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." God doesn't choose you on your reputation. He chooses you for your purpose. See, you had a purpose in the beginning. And so God chooses you for your purpose, not for your reputation. All of those things are gone. He already knows the future. He's in your future. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere. He is there, and He knows that there will be a time that you will accept Him. When you do, all those things are going to be gone. So he's not worried about you. You don't have a reputation. It's gone. It's absolutely, it doesn't exist any longer. And so God doesn't choose you on your reputation. He chooses you for what He has prepared for you, for His purpose for you. I want you to look at somebody and say, "I have a purpose. I just hadn't figured it out." How many of you are like me at times in that same boat? I know I got a purpose. It's easy for you to tell me I have a purpose. I can believe that, you know. But I got to figure it out. It's like when I was young, I was kind of, Boy, I was wild. Oh, I was, y'all just wouldn't know. I was so wild and crazy when I went into ministry. I was still wild and crazy. I was just wild and crazy about the opposite thing. I was wild and crazy about Jesus Christ. And everything that somebody did or said, I wanted to, I mean, I researched it out. You didn't get around me. I researched it out. I wanted to know. I wanted to know what's true and what's not true. I wanted to know what I could preach and what I couldn't preach. I wanted to know what was right and what was wrong. And I'd go to these meetings. This is back when people were really having church. And we'd go to church and there'd be prophecies and people would be loving God and we'd lay hands on the sick and they'd actually be healed. We just knew that God was moving, and then they'd do a word of prophecy, and if they give a word of prophecy to me, I nailed them. I did. I remember one time this guy said to me, he said, God has a work for you to do. I said, what is it? He said, well, he didn't tell me what it was. I said, I don't know if he told you anything. I mean, you tell me God's got a word. You think God's going to send me a word? He got a word for me, not tell me. I don't know where to bring a shovel or a pick. Amen. Y'all don't even know what that is, do you? But, you know, I mean, if God's called me to a word to do, I got to know what to bring. Well, what kind of material? What, and this, that, and the other to do? I mean, I think it's time that you and I recognize the fact that when God has chosen you and you have a purpose in life, God is going to give you the opportunity. And not only that, He's going to give you what you need to achieve that purpose. And you'll be able to go through life and know that He is God. Now, and thank you. In this part of Saul's conversion story, we have two people. Say two people. Saul and Ananias. Saul and Ananias. And this part of this is so cool. This is so good. Ananias is over there at a street called Straight in Damascus. And Paul's up there alongside of the road somewhere laying in the sun. Now, God had a purpose for both of these men. God had a purpose for both of them. Both of them were about to move out of their comfort zone. Both men. Now remember, Ananias had only heard of the reputation of Saul. He knew nothing about him other than what he had heard. And he knew that he was slaughtering God's people and he was slandering them and he was trying to destroy the church. And God said, hey, he's a chosen vessel. I want you to go and find him. Now, Lord, are you sure that you want me to find this fellow? I'm not for sure I want to go look for him. See, he had to move out of his comfort zone. This, he's had to move into a place he had not been before. Saul, on the other hand, he was always the take charge kind of guy. He's the one who made the decisions. But he said, you go to the street and you'll be told there. You don't do nothing until you're told to do it. But if you'll go and you'll find this guy Ananias and he will tell you what you would do. And he tells Ananias, you go find him because he's the chosen vessel unto me. Wow, listen to this. When we start operating in God's purpose in our lives, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. Wait a minute, y'all didn't get that. When we start operating in God's purpose for our lives, we're going to have to get out of our comfort zone. Things are going to have to be different. Not only here at church, but at the house and in the classroom and at school and wherever else you go. Work. There's going to have to be a change. You're going to have to get out of your comfort zone. You're going to have to move into another level, another place. You're going to have to move. Listen, I long for the day that we can get out of our comfort zone, even here in church. I believe that there will come a time that you and I will be able to see the blinded eyes open in the church. I do believe that. I believe that before the end of the time, we're going to see things. You know, it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me how that we got today, the church always is trying to figure out new stuff. We got to figure out new ways to get people in. We got to figure out new ways to keep them once they do come in. We got to do this. We got to figure out new ways, new this. How many of you know we got the same God today that the Old Testament prophets had? Amen. How many of you know that we got the same God today that the New Testament prophets had? How many of you know that the old and new church, Old Testament church and the New Testament church, were already doing what you and I are trying to do today?
Yes.
That never gets done.
Amen.
That never gets done. Oh, listen. I believe that one day we're going to see these things happen. I believe that we're going to see that his blinded eye, as Saul's blinded eyes were open, the church's eyes are going to be open. How many of you remember the story about Elisha and his servant? The king of Syria was giving all of his secrets out in his bedchamber because he didn't trust anybody. And God was telling Elisha what he was saying in his bedchamber. And so finally he says, he called his men together and said, we got to find out how this is. We got a leak here. Somebody is giving our plan. We got to find out how it's happening. So he said, where is this Elisha? Oh, he's in Dothan, not Alabama. He's in Dothan. What's he doing over there? I don't know. Probably listening to God. Well, we need to get rid of him. So he sends horses and a full army. They encamp about the mountains. And the next morning, the servant of the Lord, servant of Elisha, he gets up and he goes out there and there's all this army surrounding them, all the way to the foot of the hill, the foot of the mountain. This army is surrounding them. Watch this. He runs back in and he says, Elisha, what in the world are we going to do? There's a whole army out there, just me and you. He said, don't worry and don't be afraid. He said, for greater are they that are with us than they that are with him. Well, we don't have a calculator because it's not invented, but you're going to have to prove it to me. I mean, all I see is me and you. There's a whole army out there. And Elisha prayed. Said, God, open his eyes. Open his eyes and let him see. And his eyes was open. He had blinded eyes. He had natural eyes. And they were opened up. And guess what? He saw horses and the mountains were full of them. Above the mountains, they were just full of them. Now, let me tell you something. That's a confidence builder right there. Oh, come on, devil. Come on, I'm telling you. I believe that we're at that place like Kim. We just need our blinded eyes open. We need to have our eyes open. We can really see where our help is coming from and how God is going to minister. We got to quit looking at those things around us and start looking at what God is doing in our lives. Forget those things. They're nothing to you. Forget them. And look at what God's doing in your life. God's moving in your life. God, you would have never made it this far had it not been for God. Listen, I hate to tell you this as your pastor, but I can remember when I was a young person in college, I used to get back to the dorm wondering, how in the world I got home? Y'all hadn't ever done that. How in the world did I get home? And worse than that, I don't even want to think about what did I do before I got home.
Amen.
I mean, you know, all of those things are gone now. We got to start looking at far greater things. We got to look at the spiritual things. We got to put on our spiritual glasses. We got to get past what we see in the natural, and we got to see those things that nobody else can see. We got to be able to recognize that God is for us, and He's already got things taking place for us in our lives, and we don't even know it. They had to, talking about Ananias and Saul, they had to both move out of their comfort zone. And when you start operating God's purpose, you're going to have to get out of it. You can't stay in it. Watch this. When Ananias laid hands on Saul, his eyes were open. His blinded eyes were open. Now, we get so focused on all of this stuff that was going on in Saul's life and all of this stuff that went on the road. We get so focused on that that we miss the fact that this is the first record of the church opening blinded eyes. The first record. Nowhere else did the church. Oh, prophets did. Jesus did. The church. The church had never done that. We miss the big part. We miss that there's a purpose for the church. It began to say, hey, the miracles aren't going to come out of the pulpit.
Yes.
The miracles going to come out of the people.
Yes.
Yes. Come on, you got to get with me here. There's too much going on in the world today. We got to get busy. We got a lot to do. We got to recognize that there's things yet to be done, and we got to do them, and we got to get focused on the miracles that God is doing. I'm telling you, God has done a miracle in your life, and you can't even see it. God's done miracles in my life. I have not seen them, and then I recognize I couldn't have done this without God. I can't make people change their mind. I can't change the system. I can't do these kind of things. But God can do anything. He's God Almighty. And all he has to do is speak it. And when he speaks it, it's going to happen.
Amen.
So look at somebody and say, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All we got to do is allow God to begin to speak those things into our lives. And we'll be able to see what he really will do. So we find that when the young man got his eyes finally opened up, what do we do? What do we do? And so Elisha, when he sees his eyes are open and he sees all this, what did he say? Y'all remember? No. You know why? They mentioned. It's over. Story's over. Y'all don't get that, do you? What's it? When God gets his hand in it, it's over. It's done. You just got to let it go. And if we put that behind you and press on to what God has next for you. The Bible says as Saul journeyed to Damascus, there was suddenly this light shined around about him. Now, he was headed to Damascus. Damascus was an Old Testament city doing New Testament things. Come on. Damascus was mentioned back in Genesis. It's an Old Testament city, but they were doing New Testament things. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. Oh, everything that we could experience from God in church today has already been done. I'll never forget one of my instructors telling me in seminary, you'll never preach anything new. He said, you just remember all the preachers that have preached some of your thoughts, some idiot has come up with the same thing you have. Are you? In other words, there's nothing new. We got the same God.
Yes.
And we're doing the same things that we've always done. And we don't recognize the fact that God doesn't change. He's the same today that he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow that he is today. We got the same God that they had. Listen, I long for the church. I like to see, I don't want to say a move of God because I know God don't move. Oh, now I'm going to get in trouble. God doesn't move. I've heard people say, boy, I'd like to see a move of God in our church. God doesn't move. You move. You move. God's stationary. Oh, y'all don't understand that. Let me kind of tell you. God does not move. Why? Because he's already there.
Yes.
Why would he move?
Yes.
Where would he move to? He's already wherever he moves. Oh, man. He's there. God don't move. God don't have to move. You move. That's the reason when he instructed Moses, he said, hey, Moses, he said, how about building me a tabernacle? He said, but I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a movable tabernacle. And that's where I'm going to meet my people, called the tent of meeting. He said, that's where I'm going to meet my people. I want you to build me a tabernacle. He said, I'm going to give you instruction on how to put it together and how to take it down. And wherever you go, I want you to move it with you. But it's got to be moved right. How many know you can't change God? You can't change God. I'm going to preach over here. Y'all ain't good enough. Here. God doesn't have to move. He's already there. He's already done those. He's waiting on you to get there. So God doesn't. So he puts him in this tabernacle. He's in the tabernacle. And they moved the tabernacle. God hadn't moved. He's still in the box, you know. And I ain't got time to preach on the box, but the box is a good preaching sermon. But he's still there. You can't keep God in the box. Yeah, you can. He's everywhere. Y'all don't understand all that stuff, but it's just the way it is. They're not going to move him. He just goes. Wherever they move, he goes. Yeah. He's already there. So he said, when you build this, you build it where it can be movable, and I'm going to tell you how to move it. So guess what? He got him a new tabernacle. Look at somebody and say, I'm the tabernacle. God don't move. He's in here. Yeah. And if I don't move, God don't. Come on. I gotta tell you this. Yeah. It's time for you to get up and move. Yeah. You gotta move. You gotta take God with you. You gotta move. You gotta get out of your comfort zone. You gotta go where you wouldn't normally go, and you gotta say what you wouldn't normally say. And you gotta quit worrying about what people think and what people do, and recognize that God is God, and God wants you to know He dwells within you, and you'll never be alone. He'll be with you forever and ever. And when you leave this world, He's gonna grab you by the hand and lead you to the promised land. Hallelujah. And you'll know that He is God. Wow. Yes. I'm looking for the day that we here can absolutely just have a magnificent presence of God Almighty. Knowing that we can see things we've never seen before. I'd like to see and experience blinded eyes open. Yes, James, I believe for you, my brother. I believe. And I still pray, and I trust the Lord, and I recall those things. And I know, but I look for the day that blinded eyes are open, and the lame walk, and even the dead are raised up. I like to see the day when the gift of the Holy Spirit is in full operation in every member of our church, in full force. And it's in such force that the devil's afraid to knock at your door, because he knows that what's on the inside of you is greater than anything he could bring in there. Somebody give God the glory. We accept Jesus Christ, and then we need to press on. We need to, you know, there's more to it than just getting saved and going to heaven. Look at somebody and say, there's work to be done. There is work to be done. Yeah. We got to labor for the Lord. Are y'all with me? Yeah. There's work to be done. If we want to achieve that goal, listen, I don't believe there's a person in this building that's really serious about their relationship with Jesus Christ would not like to see a New Testament church do an Old Testament thing. Yeah. Listen, I'm ready. Yeah. You can't scare me. You can't. When it comes to spiritual stuff, I think say now you can't scare me, but not with spiritual stuff, because I got to get out of here. I do remember, I do remember the time I was walking home at dark, and I was about 10 years old. Where if you went anywhere, you walked or run, and we didn't even have bicycles because we didn't have no place to ride. Dirt roads everywhere I went, and so I can remember walking home at night, and guess what? I could hear somebody behind me. Y'all hadn't ever done that? And then after a while, I could hear their footsteps. And the faster I went, the faster they went. What really got me is when I slowed down, they slowed down. I said, they're messing with my mind. I mean, really. And then when you hear them breathe, you can hear them. They're right back there. You can hear them breathe. And you say, I got to run. I can't help myself. And I say, feet, don't run. Feet says, you can stay if you want to. I'm gone. I mean, and you can't help yourself. You just take off running. So you can scare me. But when it comes to spiritual things, I know in whom I put my trust. I know He's God Almighty. And I know that the years that I've served, he's going to speak to my heart. And he's going to let me know what's right and what's wrong. He's going to protect me. I've never had anything happen to me my God couldn't get me out of. I've never had anyone say anything to me that God didn't get me out of. I'm telling you, church, you got to hear me when I say this. It's time that you and I begin to recognize the fact that you're in the hands of a living God. He's the God of the whole earth. He's God Almighty. And you don't have to worry about what people are doing and what people are saying, because God's already got it taken care of. I long for that day that we can get to that place right here. Like I say, you don't scare me. I remember one time I was preaching away and I had this lady in the church that just screamed. Oh yeah, screamed. And it scared me so bad. I thought I was going to soil my pants. And I turned around and I looked at her. I said, "You don't scare me." Well, that was a lie. She had done it, scared me so bad I couldn't hardly breathe. But when it comes to those spiritual things, I'm ready. I'm ready. You know what's real. God's not going to embarrass or insult anyone. God's going to take care of things the way they need to be taken care of. But I'm ready to move out of the comfort zone. I'm ready to say, you know, I'll tell you what, I may make a few mistakes, but God would rather me be doing something and make a few mistakes than he would me do nothing and get nothing accomplished. We got to move. We have work to do. And you're not strong enough to do it, and I'm not strong enough to do it. There's not a church in the world strong enough to. We need God Almighty. We need the Holy Spirit operating in our life. We got to have God. We got to know that somebody is our foreguard and our rear guard, and he's encamped about us. And regardless of what comes or goes, God Almighty is going to be right there with him. He's not going to move him. I love it. Watch this. And I'm going to hush. Watch this. Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the goads or the pricks. It's hard. You know why? Kick all you want, they're still there. I love it. God's like them goads or the pricks. He's still there. You can kick against him all you want to. God said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. I'm not moving. I'm immovable. I'm already there. You want me there? I'm already there. Come on. Yeah. I'm waiting on you. You're not waiting on me. Somebody said, yeah, but I haven't got my miracle yet. You may have, you just don't know it. Oh, stand up with me. When we see that these things are happening in our lives, I know that it's hard for us to believe and accept these things. But once we accept Jesus Christ, we got to press on. Paul said in Philippians 3:14, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do. Put those things that are behind me and press on. Press forward. Press forward. There's new gifts to explore. There's new anointings to operate in. We must be like Paul and not stop at our salvation experience. There's more to it than just salvation. We got to use those gifts and those anointings that God has given us. We got to press on to the high call of God. God was a chosen vessel for the Lord, but he was not chosen for his reputation. He was chosen for his purpose. God said, I see a man that when he turns his heart around, and I know it will, I see a man that's going to go forward. He's not going backwards. He's going forward. He's going to do those things that he's supposed to do because he knows that I'm God. Yes. I had an old tractor. This is closing statement. Had an old tractor. Ford, 8 in, 1952. Didn't have a reverse in it. I mean, it didn't come that way. But after I got through with it, it didn't have a reverse in it. And you know the only difference between that and a good tractor? You just had to watch where you park it. You couldn't park it where you had to back up to get out. Are y'all there with me? Just shake your head. Just wave your head. You had to just be careful where you park it. Because sometimes you can't back out. How many of you know where you parked this morning? Was you careful where you parked? Because you may be where you can't back out. Work with me. Work with me. You may not have a reverse in that thing and you can't back out. You got to be careful where you park. I'd like for you to ask yourself this question this morning. Where have I parked my life? Where have I parked my life? Have I put myself in a position that I may not be able to back out of the decisions that I made? Where have I parked my life? God, I need your help now. I need for you to come into my life and to be able to help me, guide me, direct me. Because I'm really not sure where I'm parked this morning. And I need for you to help me here, God. See, the Lord wants you to call on Him this morning. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, or if you've accepted Jesus Christ and you've walked away from Him, I'm going to give you an invitation. Jesus is softly and tenderly calling. Jesus is calling you. He didn't send me up here to get in all this sweat and carrying on for no reason. There's a purpose, and you have a purpose, and He's calling you this morning. And I want you to just submit to Him. Just let that spirit of submission, just submit to Jesus Christ. And right where you stand, right where you sit, accept Him as your personal Savior. Come home to Him. Yes, Lord, I love you, but I failed you, and I know that I have, and I've rebelled, and I want you to be the King of my life, the Lord of my action. I want you to be in my life. And I ask you to just draw me back to you and keep me and tenderly hold me. Just wrap me in your arms and don't let me get away from you again, God. Just give Him that prayer. You need healing in your body? Just say, God, I want to remind you, you took those stripes that I may be healed. And so now in the name of Jesus, I call forth my healing. And I believe it and I claim it. I claim it in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you for it. If you would like prayer, I want you to come to the front. If you would just like to pray for someone else, or I want you to come. But if you need salvation, I especially ask you to come. If you need healing, I especially ask you to come. If you need a deliverance, I especially ask you to come. Come in Jesus' name. Come without money and without price. Come and buy the good things of God. He's here, and He wants you. As they begin to sing and play, the altar is open. Please come. Please come. Those of you that would like, you may be dismissed. Whatever, we got the ladies group right afterwards. So God bless you. Thank you for being here this morning.